Hey everybody, this is the micro mindfulness episode. So we are going to touch on mindfulness, awareness. I'm going to try to present it in a way that is more scientific and less woo-woo, and also kind of like riff on why mindfulness is so damn hard for us Western folk, but also that like we don't need to set aside time to meditate in order to bring mindfulness and get the benefits of mindfulness and awareness. And the benefits are vast. Like, it is fully worth your time to start bringing moments of presence into your day. And we are going to talk about how you can do that without creating some meditative practice.
Welcome to the Own Your Stress podcast. I'm your host, Maddie Snow, a high achiever and former healthcare professional turned stress coach. Every week, we're going to delve into what contributes to stress and how you can partner with your brain to feel less chaotic and more grounded in life. This isn't your typical stress management. This is stress ownership.
Alrighty, when it comes to mindfulness, I personally have kind of an aversion to mindfulness, which I think if you've been around for a while, you know. I am very openly, I have bipolar disorder, and it makes it very difficult for me to practice mindfulness in the typical way of kind of being silent without doing anything and just doing body scans for long periods of time. I took a mindfulness-based stress reduction course last year. It was 8 weeks long, and I was kind of thinking maybe it would be something that I could either incorporate into coaching or whether I was kind of figuring out whether I want to be certified in mindfulness-based stress reduction. And for me, that course was difficult. It was, when we had our classes, it was at least 2 45-minute body scans or meditations with additional meditations in between and mindfulness. And it just was too much for me as a neurodivergent person and also just as a beginner to mindfulness who isn't like, I'm of a Western culture. And something that has come to light for me, particularly over the last, year or so, is that it's okay that something that was developed in an Eastern culture that has very different priorities, has very different structure. So those sounds you kind of may have heard in the background, I apologize, were my dog Argos stretching and huffing. I was allowing them to be out in the sunroom with me while I recorded, thinking like they could earn the privilege and they can't handle the responsibility. So they are now back inside, but we're going to get back to mindfulness. So essentially, because we have all grown up, I have grown up, and a lot of my clients and the people that I educate have grown up in more Western-based cultures, we have grown up with a different set of values that are productivity driven and intensely value in the way of being human isn't necessarily valuable, but what you can produce is. And so mindfulness inherently is difficult when you've grown up in a culture that doesn't value the moment you're in, which is the culture that we've grown up in. More is better. What's on next? I want to watch it. What's next week going to bring? What's my next step in my career? How will I move up the ladder? How will I get, a bigger house? What can I do next? And that's our culture. So to practice mindfulness is not just, it's not asking someone just to practice the, to be still or to be quiet, but it's actually taking us out of what we've cultivated over decades of being alive and then asking us to do something that feels very counterintuitive. So if mindfulness is something that is difficult for you, if meditation is not something that necessarily appeals to you, you are not alone by any means. And also rest assured that it's not important to have long periods of meditation to get the benefits of mindfulness. And that has been something that I have definitely found over the past year since this mindfulness course that I did that was kind of like, meh. You can absolutely get the same benefits in shorter bursts. The practice is more in being in the present rather than creating a meditative environment. So let's get to the science. The science is that the average adult spends, average American adult spends about 47% of their time not paying attention. So each day, 47% of the time, people are not actually paying attention to what they're doing. And so when it comes down to it, mindfulness gives you the ability, it trains your brain to be here in this moment. And since we're not trained for that, we are so often either making mistakes or we're forgetting what we're doing or we're doing too many things at once. You know, we're getting through the day and wondering, what happened? Did I eat today? What did I eat? I don't remember any part of today, but it's over now. And that itself is a symptom of the fact that, like, we are not trained to be present in the moment. We are trained for the next moment, or we are trained to ruminate about past moments. But this moment isn't one that we are able to necessarily be in. In addition to that, there's this increased propensity for increased incidence, really, of loneliness in adults. Even though we are the most connected we've ever been, we are the most lonely we've ever been. And that's often because we are looking at the next thing, or we're not connected to the people that we're in that moment with. We're either on our phones, or we are distracted by work, thoughts of a million other things going on. And so again, being mindful and aware, what I prefer is awareness, and we'll talk about that in a second. But being mindful is about enjoying the moments that we are in every so often. Obviously, I have no problem with being on the phone. I love Instagram. I love all these things. But also being able to remember those moments that you spent at dinner, or those moments that you spent connecting with your partner or something. Even just the moments that you spent with your dog. Remembering those moments rather than flying through the day at, you know, with 47% attention. As we practice being in the moment and more aware of the moment, we also increase the connectivity of our amygdala and our prefrontal cortex. And if you, I know I've mentioned this in past episodes, but if you're not aware, the amygdala is the part of our brain that's very hyperreactive. It's a very, I call it like the rabbit brain sometimes, but it's very reactive. And it is like the sense of urgency that we have, typically the anxieties that we feel, those all kind of are in the amygdala. And the prefrontal cortex is the part of our brain that is the thinking part. And it's the part of our brain that is able to talk down the amygdala. And when we practice awareness of being in the moment, we actually end up strengthening the connection between those two parts of the brain. It's like doing a rep every single time we're able to bring ourselves to the presence or the present. And so every time we do that rep and we strengthen that connection, we're able to talk down our anxieties with using less energy, which means that we are less likely to spiral at the end of the day when, you know, we have all these anxious spirals at the end of the day is because we're low on energy. And so that bridge between the thinking brain and the reactive brain is weaker when we have less energy. Well, when we practice being in the present and having awareness and mindfulness, we're building that that connection stronger. And so it takes less energy to use it, and it's more likely to be used. Essentially, what our conditioning as, you know, especially as Americans has been, is to create super reactive humans who don't have access to the tools in our own heads to talk ourselves down. And so being able to be mindful and present allows us to access those tools more readily. Because something that I am always telling, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, if you have been a one-on-one client of mine, If you've been in my stress masterclass, any of the things, something that I'm always telling you is that your stress is a part of you. It's your physiology. It's not something that's absolutely impossible to work with, or I don't want to say control, but partner with. It's just that we don't understand how to, and we've been kept in a place that's super reactive and super urgent, and so it's incredibly difficult for us to access the tools that we already have. It feels as if we can't control the stress, but in reality, it's part of us. So understanding that and knowing that with more understanding of those tools and more practice of them, stress does not take over our lives. It doesn't ruin our lives. It doesn't create chronic disease unless we don't know how to work with it. So with that being said, I'm going to talk real quickly about awareness versus mindfulness. And these are not necessarily always differentiated. I know some people do. I happen to differentiate them. Awareness is more of a sense of what's around you, being present in the moment while looking at what's around you. And mindfulness typically has to do with more meditative awareness of the self, like presence with yourself and doing body scans and things like that. I like to practice awareness more in the things that I'm doing. So being present in certain tasks during the day. I typically choose something that I am not necessarily looking forward to doing because it gives me kind of a goal outside of the thing that I have to do anyway. So for example, I started my first practice with awareness and being present was folding the laundry. It was not something I enjoyed doing. It was actually something I dreaded doing. We were very much pour the clean clothes on the bed and whoever, you know, gets there first is going to have to do it. Oh, oops, we just kind of put them back in the hamper kind of thing. So when I initially started thinking about how to start practicing being present and having awareness, I was like, you know what? I have to fold the laundry today anyway. Let me try to be a little bit more present with it. And that gave me a separate goal than just fold this laundry. If you guys are aware of the Marie Kondo method of folding, look it up if you're not. It kind of forces you to be present because it's, you know, a very particular way of folding. We had watched the Marie Kondo documentary and a long time ago, and I started initially when I was trying to be present with it, I was like, you know what, I'm going to very particularly fold my laundry, and I'm going to be present with it, and I'm not going to just like throw it, I'm not just going to get through it and hate every moment of it. So I started paying attention to each fold I made. I started paying attention to how smooth the clothes were, what the texture of the clothes were. I also, the first couple times, even put some like meditative type, just calm music on, something that wasn't gonna like amp me up or anything. And just paying attention to that moment, not thinking about the millions of other things that I could possibly be projecting to or ruminating on. So a lot of times what we're doing when we do these simple tasks that we don't necessarily love is we're thinking about something else. So even in the shower, you can be thinking about all the things you have to do for the day or something irksome that your partner said. And so during that time, you're not actually in the shower. You're in the argument with so-and-so, and now by the time you get out of the shower, you're irritated, and you've spent that time creating a reactive response. So, you know, I tend to ruminate on finances and business stuff and what, you know, the ash tree in the backyard, and do we need to call someone? We do need to call someone about it. We haven't done that yet. So those are the kind of, like, the thoughts that I will bounce through. And if I do that while... Naturally, if we do that while we're doing something else like folding laundry or cleaning or something that doesn't take mental energy, we're using that time to create a reactive response. And so with all of these worries that we have. Now, the question then becomes, why not use that time to create some presence and to pause that inner dialogue that never kind of stops, and to practice pausing it. And that itself, that's where the repetition, the reps come from when it comes to having that prefrontal cortex, that thinking brain and reactive brain pathway building. What we're actually building is the ability to stop ruminating and stop projecting and stop the inner dialogue. Occasionally, just give it a pause. And so the more we pause it, the less our default is to run to reactive commentary in our brain. And that's what it comes down to. So allowing ourselves to practice being in a moment where we're noticing the texture of clothes or the color of clothes, or I've also done it when I'm cleaning the bathroom. That's one that I really didn't want to do, like cleaning the bathtub. So we're scrubbing and we're noticing the texture of like the tile and like kind of getting into the grout and looking at the grout and really like just being in that moment with something rather than I am doing this thing and I am thinking about 3,000 other things. And when I'm done with this thing, I'll not really have remembered doing it. And I'll probably have built up more of a reactive response to a million other things. Again, it's like pressing pause on the inner dialogue when you're doing something that doesn't require a lot of thought. And even doing that once every so often is a really great way of building the practice and slowing that. It's like this hyperactive drive of worry and anxiety. If we can slow that down, it actually stops us from defaulting to it. And it gives us the ability to be more intentional about our lives rather than, oh gosh, I've been worrying about this bill for the last hour that I've been cleaning such and such. So now I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to deal with that immediately. And now I'm going to reactively respond to this bill, even though I don't necessarily have a plan for it. I haven't, budgeted for it. I haven't put this into, I haven't thought about it intentionally, if that makes sense. So it essentially, by taking these moments and creating small moments in your day that are not set aside for meditation. If I set aside, I have tried, I have the Calm app, I love it. I just don't make time for it. I love it, but I just don't try. And so not setting aside time for meditation, but instead saying, these are the things I have to get done anyway. I'm kind of like, about doing them. What if I make them a moment of presence? And so I know that while I'm doing that, I'm practicing this ability to stop the inner dialogue. And also take myself out of autopilot, because that 47% of the time that we're not paying attention, we're on autopilot. We're answering questions with, we're just automatically saying yes to things that we don't want to say yes to. We are kind of reflexively responding to text messages and emails and then not remembering that we responded to them. We are eating and forgetting what we ate. We're not enjoying, if you bring a snack to work, being able to sit and enjoy that snack for 5 minutes, we're not sitting here and like necessarily having someone feed us grapes for an hour, right? If we just sit and enjoy a snack and are present and aware, and what does this taste like? What is the texture of it? Let me be here in this moment. When we're doing that, we're taking ourselves out of this mindless autopilot that's making us feel chaotic, lonely, and kind of unfinished. The world that we've created is incredibly useful. The technology that we have, the ability that we have to do all the things we do, it's fantastic. And at the same time, practicing being present in the moment allows you to then make decisions about your relationship with that technology and your relationship with your life. It's really, really friggin' easy today to get carried away with all the things in life, with doing more, with having more fun, with taking more pictures of doing X, Y, and Z, with eating more and drinking more without really tasting any of it. It's so easy to fall into that. And And it's really kind of advocated for everywhere you look. You see something else that, oh, that would be cool to do. Oh, that would be neat. I want to do that too. And all of those things, there is nothing bad about wanting to do more. Trust me, I want to do more all the time. It's not about being bad or good. It's about not having control or intention in your life because your life is spent almost 50% on autopilot. And so being able to take back even 0.5% of your day that isn't on autopilot is a huge gift to yourself. And it's also just, it is that allowance. It's allowing yourself to slow down this repetitious, anxious inner dialogue that rarely slows down, and that the world we've created is kind of built to speed up. You know, when I talk about finances and things, it's probably something that comes up in my mind because I see so many ads. When you listen to watch Hulu, you see ads about like transfer your debt here, do X, Y, and Z. It's like you can't have any moments that don't involve worry or I want this or reactivity or I should get this or I should be there. It's very difficult to find moments where you're allowed to just be in that moment. And that itself, giving yourself permission and then practicing doing that, not thinking about everything else, is hugely beneficial to your brain and absolutely decreases stress on its own because you're not spending those moments building stress. So having those moments, those tasks that you're really present with, is a really great way to start with just a general awareness and practicing being in the moment. And again, it blends with our lives rather than setting time aside specifically for it. Another great one that I kind of mentioned earlier is eating. When you're going to eat, if you're eating anyway, you may as well pay attention to your food. So setting aside the computer, not tapping away while you take bites and inhale your food, and just noticing what it tastes like, noticing the texture of it, and how does it smell, just really noticing the food and being present in that moment that you're eating so that you don't look down and the bowl is empty. How many times, drinking your coffee, that's a really great one too. How many times have I come to the end of a coffee cup and I'm like, oh, I swear there was like more left. So those kind of things, it's not as if the entire coffee mug has to be mindful, but being present for like half of it or setting alarm for 3 minutes. And for those 3 minutes, you are sipping your coffee and smelling it and noticing like, how does the couch feel or where are you sitting? How are you sitting? Is it comfortable? Another really good one is if you have a commute, noticing on your commute, not like in a judgmental way with like rage, how everyone else is driving, which is usually, you know, how we commute is like everybody sucks. And that is, of course, building reactivity to some level. So being able to notice the street signs, notice things around you, trees, what do you see around you? And now I'm turning left on Forest Drive. I'm just making stuff up. And you might see, you know, my wife and I were out a little earlier today and we saw a couple deer on the side of the road. Just kind of broadening your, what you look at beyond just being irritated with specific moments. And I think that's what really got, what I started really enjoying about this is that it turned things that I was not looking forward to into opportunities to practice something that I wasn't particularly good at, but that was honestly helping me. It feels good to be in the moment when you're not thinking, oh, this sucks. Oh, I can't wait till this is done. I just want to do X, Y, and Z after this is done. I just want to be in another moment. So when you're able to actually be present, it absolutely contributes and has significantly contributed to me being less reactive on a consistent basis. And to say that, if you know me personally, if you know me in real life, if you've known me over the years, I am a highly reactive human being. So for me to feel more at peace and present and okay with being present rather than irritated is kind of profound. So something another way to kind of create awareness, since you're already waking up for the day and going to work or doing whatever you do during the day, rather than just getting up and heading right into the day, taking a couple moments and just checking in with your energy level. How do you feel? How did you sleep? How are you waking up? Is there something you could do that would like maybe help you wake up a little bit more pleasantly? Maybe some music that you want to have on for your alarm? Or is there some kind of practice that you could put into your morning that you would enjoy? Just being aware that you're awake and you're starting the day. And a lot of people wake up, I think the majority of people wake up, and the very next thought is, what do I do next? Okay, what do I do next? Okay, and this now. And we don't take those moments. And then we're frustrated at the end of the day. We're frustrated when we get to work. And so understanding that, like, this moment, the moment that you wake up, is also your life. So yes, you can actually absolutely give Monday through Friday to work and everyone else and not take anything for yourself or pay attention to yourself at all. You 100% can do that. Will you probably be lonely, feel lonely and potentially miserable and stressed and maybe a little resentful? Most likely, you know, most likely. So being able to take those small moments and slow down, while realizing that taking those moments to slow down and think about being about the moment you're in does not actually make your life slow down. Like, you're not going any slower. You're going to get to work at the same time. Everything is going to happen at the same speed. It's just you might feel less chaotic when it's going that speed. When we dive full force into things, we're training the reactive part of our brain to never turn off. And then when we lay down in bed at the end of the day, we're like, our anxiety is off the chain and we have insomnia and we have all these thoughts that are bouncing around our heads that we're, you know, talking about, because our reactive brains are never turned off. And so that's another thing about practicing these moments of presence, however you find them, whatever you're doing during them, you know, setting an alarm during the day and checking in with yourself. Let's say you set an alarm at midday. Okay, I'm going to have a snack or my lunch right now, and I'm going to check in with how the day's gone. Well, I had a plan to get these three priorities done, and a lot of things have come up, so those priorities aren't going to get done. How can I kind of reassert priorities for the end of the day or resort them so that I still feel like today I navigated intentionally? No matter what came up, I still gave myself opportunities to stop, check in, and make decisions, rather than the day just completely getting away from me and me mindlessly autopiloting and feeling chaotic by the end of it. Something that I heard recently that stuck with me is that if your result feels like chaos, check your process. Because your result cannot feel intentional if your process was autopilot and chaotic. And so that works for all kinds of things, but it definitely works for your day. And that's not to say that we control the things that happen to us during the day. That's not what we're looking at. What we're looking at is that we control the presence and the intention that we feel in the day and our ability to navigate obstacles and take things as they come and being flexible with those things, rather than holding on for dear life, resisting every single like change and trying to do autopilot and feeling chaotic about it. So practicing presence at least, you know, once a week during one particular task, that's how I started. I started with folding the laundry, for however long that took, once a week. And then I expanded it to when I would wash, you know, when I would clean the bathroom. That was another moment that I started practicing. And a lot of people unintentionally practice it when they water their plants, you know, rather than thinking about all the other things you could be thinking about. Look at the plant. What's the texture of it? What color are its leaves? You know, how is the soil dry or wet? What kind of, you know, I don't know, plant things. But in general, any typical task, run-of-the-mill task that you do, you can bring some presence to it and some awareness to it and create a practice. And so it's not, the point again is not to be present in that moment so that you can remember that moment forever. I mean, who knows, you might. But the point is to be practicing that so that your brain knows how to turn off from that constant, ongoing anxious dialogue. I always feel a little woo-woo when I talk about mindfulness in general. But truly being able to practice something that intentionally slows your mind and enables you to live more in the life you're living is something that's incredibly valuable. And so practicing it any time that you are able to, that it makes sense, is a fantastic way of building that muscle and allowing yourself to actually be around for your life. Because we are all rushing towards goals. I have 100 million goals that, you know, are just like however many years away, 1 year, 6 months, 2 years. We all have goals. That's kind of easy at this point to look at the next thing. What's difficult and what requires discipline is to look at where you are now, because where you are now is your actual life. It's the only thing that actually exists. Everything in the future and the past, the emails that you have to respond to, the emails that you might get sometime, the anger that your boss might have, or the, you know, frustrating client that might exist, all those things are not real. What's real is the moment you're in. And so in addition to like not being able to slow that reactivity, we're also building lives where we don't actually appreciate a lot of the things we're doing. Like when I'm folding laundry, these are the clothes that like we wear to go to the gym and we love the gym. And these were great. These are great leggings that I was excited to buy. And having moments like that where you actually connect the purpose of what you're doing or the purpose of everything to your life, rather than saying, oh, this is another load of laundry I have to do. Oh, this is another place I have to drive to. Like, if we can, absolutely, and I have absolutely responded to errands and tasks and things like that that way. But why? You know, if we have only a designated amount of time on this earth that we are not entirely sure of the length of, how does it help us to approach every task with dreading it and wishing it was over, rather than being like, you know what, this is the life that I'm in. Like and there's some pretty great things about it. Like, it's not necessarily perfect, because whose is? But rather than looking at the next thing, practicing that presence and giving yourself the gift of being able to enjoy being in your life rather than looking forward to the next thing. Because the more you practice looking at the next thing, the more your brain knows to do that, and the less it will know to stop and look around at what you have now. Thanks so much, and I really hope that this episode helped bring some value to awareness and mindfulness for you. Please let me know on Instagram, reach out if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy any of the episodes. I love hearing from you, and I'm really excited to start back with the podcast and some maybe shorter episodes that are kind of fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Own Your Stress podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate, review, and share it with everyone you love. If you're looking for more ways to own your stress, you can sign up for my weekly email at my website, www.maddysnow.com. See you next time.